Blog Talk Radio.
Come on back, Cleefo.
Oh.
I'm listening.
I've been walking with my face turned to you. Weight on my shoulders. Oh, I got eyes in the back of my head, just in case I had to run. I do what I can, while I can for my people, while the clouds roll back and the stars fill the night. That's where I'm gonna stand up, take my people with me. Together we are going to a brand new home. Far across the river, you hear freedom calling, calling me to answer. Gonna keep on keeping home. I can see the river.
That meaning 100 miles to freedom. Would you like to take a new name to mark your freedom?
Harrington.
Early in the morning, before the sun begins to shine, I'm gonna start moving towards that separating. I'm waiting for marijuana. You know I've got a made up mind. And I don't mind if I lose any blood on the way to salvation. And I fight with the strength that I got until I die. Oh, I'm gonna stand up, take my people with me. Together we are going to a brand new home. Far across the river, you hear freedom calling, calling me to enter. Gonna keep on keeping on.
Harriet, welcome to the underground railroad.
Thank you.
If you are about to write
and greeting, Mahathotep, how is everyone this evening? We thank you all for tuning in to this special edition of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. As we bring forward the spirit, the energy, the tenacity, the greatness of none other than Araminta Harriet Tubman. Tonight's program is, of course, a commemoration on this day. It is said that she arrived in Philadelphia and in doing so declared her freedom, walking from Dorchester, Maryland, through the woods, through the forest, through all kinds of things that most cannot even begin to imagine, but yet she survived, and in that obtained what she knew she had to have, and that was, of course, her freedom, at least in the context of what it meant in that day and age. And so tonight's program is dedicated to her and, of course, her memory. But in her memory, we now look at how do we continue her work? How do we continue her legacy? So with that said, family, we welcome you again to this segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation as we commemorate the great Harriet Tubman. And for those who do not know, we are now in the process of calling her Saint Harriet Tubman because it is in our best interest to begin to declare the people that we want to bring forward in a certain kind of manner. And so with the National Million Women March Universal Movements, we have created our own pantheons, our own capability to recognize our people, but not just recognize them, but to assure that their history, that their legacy, that their contributions are not only cited adequately, also is embraced, and of course, as indicated, continue. So again, tonight we commemorate this day in 1849, December 6th, 1849, it is recorded that Harriet Tubman arrived in Philadelphia. So now what we want to do is kind of look at how we need to, again, honor her. Now, last year, of course, marked her anniversary of ascension. March the 10th, she made transition March the 10th, 1913. And so last year was kind of a commemoration. And a lot of stuff was going on in different cities. In fact, here in Philadelphia, they now have secured the person who is going to do a statue in her honor, which is wonderful. What we want, though, is something a little more productive, a little more proactive, and a little more in representation of what she actually stood for and represented, and that is the fight for freedom, the actual hands-on kinds of things. And so that's what we're looking at doing. Now, we started that activity here in Philly by looking at a building. Here in Philadelphia, there are many buildings that belong to the city or other parts of the government. And interestingly enough, a lot of those buildings have been vacant. And so we realized that there's something very interesting going on. So we began to examine what people call gentrification, but what we know is, in fact, ethnic cleansing in a form of modern-day genocide. We have researched at least seven cities and saw the same kind of actions, the same kind of patterns, and they all have a city plan. And so when we began to examine that, we realized that this stuff is very intentional, it's very diabolical, and it's geared to make certain that our people, people of African descent, folks that we call black people, are manipulated in such a way that ultimately we will be lessened. And so what do we do knowing these kinds of things? Well, with that said, we examine the work of our ancestors and see how, again, to utilize that in a way that is going to be advantageous for us as a people. With that said, we are looking at the work, the contributions of Harriet Tubman. Now, over the years, interestingly enough, we have had at least one person to talk about how Harriet Tubman did not exist, that's a fictitious person and that it was made up and so forth and so on. And so, you know, our position is, okay, even if that was the case, so what? Because every culture, every nation, every peoples or whatever have their own folklore, have their own mythology, have their own stories that they use to help guide them, strengthen them, encourage them, and motivate them, and then some. So even if that was true, which we don't believe is, meaning that her story is fictitious, even if it was true, so what? We still need something. And again, there are a lot of stuff that people believe that you can't prove. I oftentimes hear people tell us about what the sarcophagus is of this and this and that. And then I'm like, yeah, well, how did you come up with that? I mean, who said so? And so we're basing it on guidelines, rules, and concepts of other people to the greater extent, which does not necessarily mean that it's true, but yet we embrace it and utilize it in whatever way we see fit. Well, we're utilizing this in whatever way we see fit. And so, again, when we talk about Harriet Tubman, we talk about Araminta Ross, or we just say Araminta, because from what our research indicates, that is the name that her parents did give her. And it is also indicated that her lineage ancestry comes from Ghana. With that said, next year, MWM, Universal Movement, will now begin to install Harriet Tubman as a saint and also as an ancestral queen. So we talk about queens, we'll talk about ancestors, but how are we defining that? How are we differentiating that from other things? And so we know now that we must do that. And so with the 25 sister saints that MWM, Universal Movements, have identified, we also call these sisters our ancestral queens. So you'll be hearing more about that as we proceed. For next year when we bring forward the Million Woman World March. Yes, it is coming. We decided not to push forward with doing it this year because next year is more strategic and more advantageous. Why? Because it is several things. One, it is the last year for the International Decade for African People. So we will be gearing up to make certain that the Million Women World March is, in fact, matriculated in the international circles by way of United Nations and other international vehicles, given the fact that the International Decade for African People is going to draw the attention of people all over the world of African descent. And so why not have something that our women in particular can have to celebrate with? And so, yes, we decided to wait until next year. Now, this also turned out to be a very good thing because it helped to draw out more of our enemies. And you have to know when you're doing something of a certain caliber, it is going to always attract haters. So we already knew that, but we didn't know how close they were until we began to really move forward with the Million Women World March. And as a result, was able to really begin to, shall we say, flush out some things that needed to be, you know, taken out of our midst and out of our way. So, again, if it's a good thing that we decided to wait and do what we're going to do for the Million Woman World March, which we now also call it the Sankofa Expedition. For those who understand the concept of Sankofa, it is returning to the past in order to move forward in the future. And so with that, the Sankofa expedition will take place in two locations, one in the U.S. and also in one of the Karakon regions. And again, what we've learned is we don't want to do things as they have been. It is time to move things forward. And so with that said, the Million Woman World March is certainly the next step forward. It is inclusive for all of our women nationwide and worldwide, and will establish the first global movement for women and girls of African descent worldwide. So this is like, you know, very, very not only exciting but groundbreaking, because in 2025 we are planning to do the Million Woman World March in Africa, as we also create or bring forward the theme of raising up the original mother. All right. So with that said, family, moving right along, we want to just share with you a couple of things that is also coming up this weekend. Saturday, December the 9th, is something that we are looking forward to doing with young folks, with students, young adults. We're going to have a conversation starting at 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock Eastern Time, and it'll be on Zoom, and the conversation is going to be about student loan debt, Black student loan debt. We want to hear about what our students and parents think about the removal of student loan debt, which is a part of our We Charge Genocide 21 project, one of our platform issues. We know that the Biden administration has been talking about and kind of working towards what they call student loan debt forgiveness. And our position is there should be no forgiveness or nothing before our students, students of African descent, Black students here in the U.S. We must first have student loan, what we call revocation or elimination, all right, because these other people, I mean, you know, they weren't forced into enslavement. Our people were. So we need to be relieved from any kind of burdens, unnecessarily, any kind of debt. All that needs to be removed before any other conversation is talked about with other people. And so this position has to be made clear, and it will be, again, as a part of next year's International Decade for African People. Our position will be placed into the various arenas. We're also reactivating our Recharge Genocide 21 million signature campaign. We're looking to take at least a million signatures to the United Nations as a part of the International Human Rights Day observance for 2024. We want to make sure that the UN and other entities know what our position is and why, and we're looking for whatever support, as Brother Malcolm also went to Africa in 1964 to obtain support in regards to the Black human rights violations of our people. So we are following suit and also are continuing and the legacy of Brother Malcolm X, Queen Mother Moore, of course, Paul Robeson. That also takes us to, again, we will kick things off on December 9th with students. We will talk about human rights, Black human rights in the U.S., the whole issue of human rights. It's an educational forum. But also, we will begin to get ready for the next day, which will be December 10th, and that, of course, is International Human Rights Day. The We Charge Genocide 21 project is committed to educating, organizing, mobilizing the grassroots. So while oftentimes there's conversations about various issues such as human rights, such as reparations, what we're finding is that in most situations, people are tending to talk to one another, which is fine, but the masses of our people don't know what is being talked about or what it is that we're talking about. So the We Charge Genocide 21 is committed to making certain that information is matriculated in our communities. And we have a perfect plan of action to do that. With the Million Women World March, we are now moving in the position to make certain that information is circulated widely of the Million Women World March, because we will be putting out information in that regard. Simultaneously, we will also be educating our people about various issues. And again, human rights is one of them. Now, be real clear that even though we're saying human rights, we also know that there are advanced levels in this whole thing. But we have to start with what we know is the most conducive. And that is, again, from civil rights to human rights. And then, of course, from that, we will deal with natural rights. But for now, we will bring forward the issues relevant to human rights. Again, December 10th will mark the 75th year of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights being focused on or entered into the United Nations arena. And so on Saturday, we will do a teach-in and a speak-out on that, so that those who are interested, particularly students, will learn more about the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And we begin to put our student cadre formation in place, so that we have an active student, young adults, who will now be involved in the We Charge Genocide 21 program, which is also the Black Movement for Self-Determination, Justice, and Human Rights. So again, as mothers, certainly this is something that our women can definitely play a major role in as it pertains to getting their children, our children, ready for the future. What lies ahead? What awaits them ahead? How are they going to be able to respond to what we know is the inevitable, and the inevitable having to do with race issues? All folks are not going to, shall we say, give in to the pressure and what the system has in store for many. And that is, at some point, people got to make a decision one way or the other about, you know, who they are, what they're about, what they're representing, who they're going to fight for, and so forth. And so with that said, there are some who, of course, are not interested beyond a certain point in upholding a system that tends to not only be exploitive, be dominating and domineering, but also to just be up, just straight up demonic. And so with that said, there's going to have to be some alternatives. And so with what MWM, Universal Movements, is doing, and other groups, other nations even, certainly this is something that, again, is being put in place now. So with that said, again, family, we want you all to know that in March, we will be holding here in Philadelphia the National Black Women's Power and Political Convention. That convention will enable us to create a national agenda that Black women will put together and present to any of the candidates that we feel we want to present it to. Again, a lot of our people will be voting in November of 2024, and it behooves us to have at least the appearance of some form of intelligence, not just the appearance, but the actuality of, you know, saying, listen, if you want folks' votes, you need to, you know, say that this is something that you're going to be trying to do, right? I mean, in the past, folks got away with just getting votes and keeping them moving. Well, we're not having that now, particularly given the fact that both President Biden and Vice President Harris indicated that it was Black women who played a very instrumental role in them getting in office. Well, that is true, and it has been, as has been said, in other elections. But what we also know is who's representing us. And so I can say without a shadow of a doubt, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not interested in none of these people representing me that I've seen out there, you know, in these different arenas. They don't speak for me. They have no idea what most of our women are experiencing and going through, except for what they read. Many of them have no real experience or real comprehension of knowing, you know, some of what's actually happening and has happened. Some do, few do, but for the most part, do not. And again, you know, many have gotten real caught up in this whole idea of, you know, going to school to get your college degree and that qualifies you for certain things. Yeah, it do for the corporate world, but, you know, not necessarily in really addressing and fighting for the various things that are relevant to justice and our liberation as a people. And so, again, there has to be some other kinds of things now happening, and so there shall be. So, again, March of 2024, there will be, here in Philadelphia, the National Black Women's Political and Power Convention. So, again, you can look forward to that. There will be an agenda that comes out of that convention so that those who are interested in voting in November will at least be able to hear in a intelligent, proactive body of black women who have agreed on various issues and things relevant to that that we feel need to be presented if people are going to get out here asking for folks to vote for them. So the issue of reparations, of course, is one of them, but also we need to examine this whole thing of COINTELPRO. It happened. It happened in such a way that it just, you know, totally in some situations dismantled and just destroyed a lot of what was being done and accomplished in our communities on the real. And so that has to be looked at carefully or more carefully and remedied, addressed. And so, again, this is one of the things that the Black Women's Power and Political Convention can and will do. And that, again, is to look at various issues that we want to adopt for our agenda that will be presented to various political entities, of course, to the so-called presidential candidates, but also folks on the local levels as well. This is a dynamic move. To my knowledge, it has not been done before by black women in the context of grassroots, in the context of bipartisanness. In other words, you know, we're not advocating or, you know, shall we say, promoting or whatever any of these parties. They're pretty much all the same as far as we're concerned. You know, Twilly D and Twilly Dumb. One might be a little different or a little better, you know, than the other. But, you know, when you're evaluating evil, you know, the lesser of two evils can still be very, very damaging, detrimental, and even deadly. So with that said, we are looking at accomplishing our agenda. Does not matter, or I won't say it won't be as significant or as much of an issue in terms of some kind of loyalty or whatever to any party. That's not. So we have, in fact, developed the Million Woman Party for that purpose. Going back again, that will take place in March. And also the installment process for Saint Harriet Tubman will also go into effect. Her transition date is March the 10th. And so we will be doing something on that day. But again, the convention will focus on numerous issues, topics. There will be caucusing, for lack of a better word. There will be also forums, training sessions, and other things that is going to make certain that as we move forward in the future, we are well organized and ready. So with that said, family, we are going to move forward. We just wanted to kind of give you that recap for tonight. Again, today is Harriet Tubman Freedom Day. And, you know, I always watch very carefully who says what and when. And, you know, as many can kind of, you know, agree, consistency is very important. And so for, you know, it, many years now, we have always made certain that various ancestors, we acknowledge their work, their contributions, their born day or Earth Day, or their transition day, ascension day. And so, again, on this day, it is the day that is recorded that Araminta, also known as Harriet Tubman, arrived in Philadelphia. It is said that she left Dorchester, Maryland, in September of 1849 and arrived in Philadelphia on December 6th, 1849. So next year will mark the 175th year of Harriet Tubman declaring, obtaining her freedom. And so we will also celebrate. We will do the HT, #17Jubilee, and we'll be taking it into different cities, but there will be a Harriet Tubman Freedom Fest along with the conference, because we want to make sure that we are able to do the kind of research, the type of analyzation. You know, it's so interesting to see other people talk about her and you know, really, you know, do things in her honor. But now Black women is going to do something that only we can and should do in that regard, and that is to declare her as a saint. Saint Harriet Tubman. And so again, the installment process will begin next year in March. And so, you know, we do not know of her actual Earth Day. That's one of the things that, you know, it's ambiguous, because during that time period, oftentimes records were not kept. And so, you know, we can only estimate. And so her time of born is said to be between 1820 and 1822. So we began this project in 2020 so that we will be ready for next year. And so we are in recognizing her 175th year of obtaining her freedom. And with that said, what are we talking about doing? Well, we're going to tell you more about that very soon, including the development of what we call the Harriet Tubman Justice and Humanity Center. That's right. The one thing that Harriet Tubman did, for those who might not know, is she literally bought property. And in buying property, she created housing for the elders. Is that something that you think Black women can do? I certainly think so, and I certainly think that we should. We have so many of our elders who oftentimes cannot get adequate housing. And while this past week we heard Brother Reeve, fellows from Chicago, and Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. talk about how other people are coming into the city and getting all kinds of services. And so, you know, we're not saying that that's not a good thing, but what we are saying is, how do people who are already there, who are in need of services, how they put on the back burner like that? And we definitely know that some of them have to be elders. So again, as Black women, is that not something that we need to look at and examine for the future in representing Tubman? To create facility or something that will help our elders? Well, we will definitely be talking about that in March at our convention. So again, things will kick off this Saturday from 1 to 3. We'll be on Zoom talking with students, parents about the issue of Black student loan debt and its removal as a part of reparatory justice. And also begin to form our youth Black student cadre for the We Charge Genocide 21, so that as we proceed in dealing with the issue of reparations, we are not waiting to tell these things to our children or young adults, you know, way down the line somewhere. So this year, we are blessed to begin to introduce MWM's first line of educational items for the children. We are literally preparing to go to the press with one of our first products, and it is Reparations for Our Children, A to Z. And so we're hoping to have it ready for Kwanzaa. And so that's one of the other educational items is our 25 Sister Saints. It's a coloring book. And also there is a coloring book for reparations. The coloring book for reparations won't be ready. We know that until February for Black History Month. But the Sister Saints hopefully will be ready also in time for Kwanzaa, but if not, definitely for Black History Month. So family, that is kind of the overview of where we're at. Several of our campaigns are now getting ready to be relaunched, activated further. We realize now that it's really essential that we raise our own monies. We also realize now that that's not going to happen the way that we had initially envisioned. And so for next year, you will see us introducing our first clothing line, apparel, and accessory, because we know that we have to generate revenue in order to do what we need to do, and we know that we cannot depend on that happening the way that, you know, it may have happened in the past, but a lot of things have changed. Before we close out, we want to share with you that, again, on Saturday, we will be kicking things off as a part of the We Charge Genocide 21. December 10th is literally International Human Rights Day. That is a United Nations Day that has been in existence now for approximately 75 years. That day will commemorate the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the 75th year of its signing, of its introduction into the United Nations, 75 years. Now, we're going to do some education and information sessions on that Saturday and Sunday. Again, our position and role is to help better educate, edify the masses of our people. So while we have these conversations with folk that already kind of know what's going on, beginning this weekend, we start putting information into the various shopping centers, barber shops, beauty salons, etc., because that's where the masses of our people are. So again, while we have a lot of different, you know, forums and conversations, the most of our people don't know what the hell we're talking about. And again, the effort for that to happen is now on us, and we're picking up that baton, that mantle, to do that. So again, we're going to make certain that various churches and other kinds of facilities have basic information about human rights violations, Black human rights violations, that is, We Charge Genocide 21, and other relevant issues. So that will start on this Saturday, again, with our Zoom, but again, to start activating our youth formation, who will be very instrumental in some of the next steps of things that need to happen. So that'll happen on Saturday from 1 to 3 on Zoom. Then on Sunday, we do another special session, and that, of course, commemorates the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. That is literally International Human Rights Day. And so we will be doing a special edition of our blog at 7 o'clock, I think it is, on Sunday evening. Again, to, you know, do some recapping and to review the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and where do we go from here and so forth. That'll be on Sunday at 7 o'clock. Then on Monday, we will continue. Again, 7 o'clock. We'll be doing something every day that whole week, somewhere between 7 and 8 o'clock. We'll give you the exact schedule on Saturday and Sunday. And it'll take us up to December 17th. December 17th is the actual day that Paul Robeson took the We Charge Genocide petition to the United Nations in 1951. So we will do a whole segment on Paul Robeson, the We Charge Genocide 1951 petition, and kick off the We Charge Genocide 21 million signature petition at that time. So With that said, we will also introduce, introduce, because we're going to mention it on Sunday, but we will begin to literally, you know, put it more into motion, and that is what we call the New Maroon Society. For those who are interested in being a part of something, as we proceed with reparations, the question has to be, if and when it is issued or given, what's the apparatuses? And so what MWM has come up with our recharge in the size 21 is the development of several components. One of them is the New Maroon Society. And so the formation of that is going into place. And again, we always are thankful for the various groups and organizations that have come before us, the Nation of Islam, the Wahhabian Nation, the of course, the UNIA, ACL, and Darsar Set. And again, these are groups who have demonstrated a capability of organizing and also, you know, putting things in place that was independent. They're talking Africa and so forth. So we looked at those things and came up with how we can proceed in the 21st century in such a way where it might be a bit more, you know, manageable and productive and progressive for today. And what I mean by that is in the examination, number one, the New Maroon Nation, as the name suggests, Maroons, these are people who fought for their freedom, who recognized the need to make sure that they had a level of independence and so forth. So to bring together a mindset of folk who, by any and all means necessary, you know, are going to be free, and of all nations or all denominations or whatever you want to call it, meaning, you know, we have no advocacy per se of a religion. Be you, do you. Whatever your religion is fine with us, as long as it's not demonic. And so the capability for groups within the New Maroon Society, they can hold whatever services, whatever recognitions within the bodies. The other thing that is different, a little different, is that we are not structuring in the context of a government based on how we've seen governments being structured. Just the notion of democracy has not worked for nobody, no matter what type it's been. The idea of socialism has not worked. The idea of communism has not worked. So it behooves us to begin to develop something a little more, a little differently. And so this body will begin to do that. And so the New Maroon Nation is a provisional government in a way, but it's also a transitory entity, so that folks who want to go from one stage of something to the next stage of development will be able to do so. If they wish to stay in our society / nation state at some point, then that's cool. But if not, that's okay too, you see, because we don't want to get into a kind of domination or capability of a certain type. We want to make sure that folks know that there's a structure and they have to deal with, you know, abiding by a structure, but at the same time, again, is there to assist in the development of the person, of the family, and so forth. And they, of course, do have to assist in the development of the society. So these are some of the things you're going to hear us talk more about this coming week. And also, as we proceed in some of the upcoming sessions, on January the 1st, I will hold the first Empress's Oval and Round Table Discussions. And it is, the first one is geared to bringing together the various groups, organizations, nations, institutions, individuals, meaning activists, advocates, that striving or wish to strive for Black / our Cabellanian justice and liberation. And so those dialogues, again, will enable reports to be provided, plans of actions to be shared, and in that, the group, the body, at some point will be able to determine what things they wish to support without there being, shall we say, the kind of domination, meaning I think the expression is unity without unnecessarily conformity. And so again, in recent days or times, the notion of a Black United Front was something that was sought and still is in place. However, in this day and age, we're looking at the development of entities or things that is of a similar structure, but at the same time, we're utilizing some kind of additional applications. So again, family, these are some of the things that are coming up this week. These are some of the things that are coming up this year. The Men and Women World March, again, we put it on hold for 2024 because it's definitely more conducive with it being a presidential election coming, with it being the closeout for the International Decade for African People, with it being just a year filled with some other pieces that will enable what we believe a level of productivity. And by the way, for those who have decided to make me an enemy, I'm so thankful that you did, because it has helped me to know what I need to do in the future, and so be real clear. Those things have been duly noted, and I definitely am not one to skirt away from such things where others may have been. I am not. So with that said, family, we're going to move forward with much love and respect. For those who, of course, have upheld the energy, the synergy, the commitment, and so forth of our ancestors, we thank you all, we respect you all. And again, here in Philly, there's a group called Avenging the Ancestors. And so I looked at that and said, it's interesting. I love the name. But I looked at the work, and I'm like, that's real interesting. So what we've come up with is the African Avenging Angels is one of the components that you'll hear us talk more about, the African Avenging Angels. Because, again, in any kind of move forward, there has to be the capability to honor those who have sacrificed, who have given their lives. No group of people are going to leave that out of their development. And so needless to say, we must not do that either. So moving right along, again, we thank you all for tuning into this special edition. And we are going to be Black with you on our regular program, which of course will be Saturday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I believe Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. will be joining us again to give us some updates on what happened with this year's commemoration of the assassination of his father, and also some other things that's going on in Chirac, as he calls it. But we're going to also talk more about Chairman Fred, of course, is one of our ambassadors for the Men and Women World March. And I didn't get a chance to talk with him last time he was on about his trip to Ghana, which is one of the countries that we're going with as well. So I'm going to ask him to kind of, give us some insight into his recent trip to Ghana as well. We're going to also give you some updates on some of the moves that we're making. Next week, I will be in Washington, D.C. in preparations for doing the paperwork to make certain that the Million Woman World March is in place as we have mandated it should be. And after we do that there, we will also begin to make sure that our next step in one of the CARICOM countries, because we are planning to do two marches next year, and again, one in the U.S. and the other one in one of the CARICOM regions. So we'll be giving you more information about that next week as well. And also, for sisters who are interested in joining what we now call the African Women's United Nations, we'll be telling you about that on Saturday as well. Again, we figured out how we need to proceed in bringing forward our movement, and in doing it in a manner that has not been done before, and certainly by any and all means necessary. So, again, family, we thank you all. And, again, this is Harriet Tubman, Freedom Day. Get ready for next year, the 175th year anniversary of Harriet Tubman, Saint Harriet Tubman. The Jubilee is coming. So until next time, we say to you, Pomoja Tutashinda, together we shall win. Peace out.